today's talk is on a sutta called the Yoganatha Sutta. The subtitle would be Tranquility and Insight, or Samatha Vipassana in Tandem. Despite what's developed over the 2,600 years since the Buddha's passing, the many cultural and charismatic individual influences that have developed into modern Buddhism, and a nearly infinite number of so-called meditation techniques and purposes and intents behind it, the Buddha was very consistent and clear about the type of meditation method that he taught and the purpose for that meditation. And of course, he didn't teach just meditation. He taught meditation as one factor of the Eightfold Path, for the sole purpose of developing profound understanding of Four Noble Truths. The environment that a mind rooted in ignorance of those Four Noble Truths abides in is known as the Three Marks of Existence: the impermanent nature of all things, the not-self characteristic, which does not mean no self, and I won't get into that today. I give plenty of talks on that. It simply means that the views we have of a self are rooted in wrong views, rooted in ignorance, do not constitute a self. They're not a self. That's what the Buddha's meaning of the word anatta, the second mark of existence. And a misunderstanding of the first two, meaning the impermanent nature of all things, including what we think of a self, those wrong views that continue to establish that ignorance result in dukkha, the third mark of existence. So the insight, the only useful insight that we hope to gain, is insight into those three marks of existence, so to recognize and abandon our own views rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. Any other search for insight is too broad of a search. It takes us outside of the Buddha's Dhamma, and certainly is not informed by what the Buddha taught. The Buddha taught one single method throughout his 45-year teaching career. And he did it for one sole purpose: to deepen concentration, so that through that, a well-concentrated mind, we can support the refined mindfulness necessary, to hold in mind all eight factors of the Eightfold Path as a path to develop awakening. Excuse me, a little sniffles today. The Buddha never labeled his meditation method. In other words, he never called his method Samatha Vipassana. I've never found an account anywhere where he put any kind of label on the meditation that he taught. When you think about that, there's really no reason to specify it, because he only taught one method. He taught meditation. So when you're talking about, or when the Buddha was talking about meditation, everyone knew what he was talking about. He didn't need a label on it. It was simply the meditation method that he taught as one factor of the Eightfold Path. This sutta, the Yoganatha Sutta, is taught by Ananda, and it explains very clearly what the Buddha hopes to develop in meditation. And so the shamatha means the quiet mind or a tranquil mind, and vipassana means insight, and of course it's insight into three marks of existence, not some generalized insight. We shouldn't spend time meditating on topics, because that's truly not meditation as the Buddha taught meditation. We gain insight. Insight may arise during our meditation practice when we are developing the Eightfold Path, useful insight, but often its insight is gained off our cushions by holding in mind all eight factors of the Eightfold Path. And as we are able to be mindful of the arising and passing away of all things, and most importantly, the rising and passing away of our own feelings and thoughts on and off our cushion, this is where we gain useful insight. So let me read the sutta. It's a brief sutta, and I'll comment just a little bit more on that. Again, this is taught by Ananda. Ananda begins, "Friends, whoever achieves the unbound state, meaning enlightenment, free of bondage to sense desires. They do so by means of one of four paths. Now, the Buddha's not talking about meditation as a path. Ananda's Ananda is not teaching that there's that these meditation methods are the path. There's reference always to the Eightfold Path. He's talking about how Shamatha Vipassana meditation properly engaged with has one of four qualities, but ultimately it has all four qualities working together. When one has developed insight, preceded by tranquility, insight meaning Vipassana, tranquility meaning Shamatha or Shamatha, their path is born. In other words, without having a meditation method that develops tranquility and insight together, there's no path born. That's the foundation. And this relates to the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, where initially the beginning of the Satipatthana Sutta is instructions for meditation. And then as the Sutta unfolds, the Buddha teaches how to apply that well-concentrated mind to other areas of the Dhamma. And that's so important. Again, the Buddha didn't teach only meditation, and he didn't teach any other method except this particular method. I'm going to read that again. When one has developed insight preceded by tranquility, their path is born. They follow that path, the Eightfold Path, and develop the path, and pursue the path. As they develop the path, their shackles are abandoned. This, again, this relates to clinging, attachment, and all of those different ways of describing clinging to wrong views rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. As they develop the path, their shackles are abandoned, and their obsessions are destroyed. They are unbound and awakened. Just that simple. Developing Shamatha Vipassana, tranquility and insight meditation, within the framework of the Eightfold Path, our shackles are abandoned and our obsessions are destroyed. We become unbound or awakened. Very simple and direct instructions, again, about how to meditate within the proper framework. Often, it's so simple and direct that it's become so easy for people to take license with it and make any type of really a contemplative practice meditation. One of the great fallacies is the idea of walking meditation. And I'm not walking and being mindful of the breath is a wonderful and grounding experience, but there's no substitute for sitting meditation. And what I've found from quite a few years of teaching now is how eager people are to take up any other method except sitting and meditating and call it meditation. There's a very, very important component of bringing the body to stillness that facilitates the mind coming to stillness. And so that direct aspect of sitting in seclusion or a quiet spot, bringing the body to silence by simply sitting quietly and then quieting the mind, begins to unite the mind and the body, which is the ultimate goal of mindfulness, as the Buddha teaches mindfulness, to be mindful of what is present, to be mindful of what is occurring in our life. Our minds must be united in our bodies. That makes sense, doesn't it? Ananda continues, when one has developed tranquility preceded by insight, their path is born. They follow that path, the Eightfold Path, and develop the path and pursue the path. As they develop the path, their shackles are abandoned and their obsessions are destroyed. They are unbound and awakened. So this just points to not a direct practice of developing insight before tranquility. It's simply pointing to the fact that some people will gain great insight initially, and that great insight will help support their tranquility, their mind calming process of meditation. When one has developed tranquility in tandem with insight, their path is born. They follow that path, the Eightfold Path, and develop the path. They continue to pursue the path. As they develop the path, their shackles are abandoned and their obsessions are destroyed. They are unbound and awakened. When one's mind has its restlessness, meaning doubt and confusion, well under control, their mind grows steady inwardly, developing tranquility, and settles down. The Buddha talks about it, our mind settling down, the purpose or a component of meditation. He speaks of that in many suttas, and including the Satipatthana Sutta and the Anapanasati Sutta. The mind becomes unified and well-concentrated, meaning we have now united our mind and our body. And this leads to insight. As they develop the path, their shackles are abandoned and their obsessions destroyed. They are unbound, they are awakened. Friends, whoever achieves the unbound state, free of the bondage to sense desires, does so by means of one of these four paths. That's the end of Ananda's instructions. So again, excuse me, the Buddhist is teaching, or Ananda here, is teaching very clearly what he learned from an awakened human being. The purpose of meditation is to develop a calm and peaceful mind, a tranquil mind, that facilitates gaining insight into the three marks of existence. And no Dhamma practice can be successful unless we do that in tandem. And so the very act of proper meditation, as taught by the Buddha, as I teach, and it's the only meditation I teach. And I should mention that I've tried many different meditations and contemplative practices and visualizations, and nothing had any real effect in developing a calm and peaceful mind until I came across the Buddhist teachings as preserved in the Sutta Pitaka and these very specific suttas, especially this one, the importance of a simple and direct meditation method that works in tandem with a quiet mind leading to insight. And again, the reference always goes back to the Eightfold Path. The Buddha never taught just meditation. He taught meditation as one factor for gaining insight. And it is only through a well-developed practice, a practice that calms the mind, that concentrates the mind, and can lead to useful insight, not simply insight that is just more distraction, which is so common today. That alone can deliver us to the Buddhist stated goal of becoming released or unbound from all views, from clinging to all views rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. It's simple and direct. I think one of the reasons, you know, I've been teaching for quite a while now, I think one of the reasons why people have such a difficulty with just this simple meditation method and have to continue to embellish and add on to it, such as using counting or using visualizations or looking at a candle or doing rituals before or after meditation. Those are all distractions, as the Buddha would teach meditation. He never introduced anything else other than this meditation method that is to be practiced in tandem within the framework of the Eightfold Path. Again, the reason why many people have such difficulty is it's just so simple, so spare, but also so pure. And so the challenge for any meditator within the framework of the Buddhist teachings is to recognize that and to simply keep coming back to the breath and not substituting anything else that will help so-called make our meditation easier. We're better off meditating for short periods of time using a proper method than trying to meditate too long using some method that is simply distracting the mind, such as using counting or visualizations or anything else or background music. Those are just more distractions. And ultimately, there'll be no insight into the three marks of existence. And so there can be no awakening as the Buddha describes awakening. So keep the meditation method as the Buddha taught our meditation method. If we hope to develop the Buddhist path, it makes sense that we follow that path. And that path is still available to us today. So I hope this talk was beneficial to your practice. I'll have another one next Wednesday. And these Wednesday talks are, again, I think I mentioned it last week, I need a little bit more flexibility in my schedule. So I will post these talks typically by noon on Wednesday, when I will actually record them. That's going to change week to week. It's probably about 7:30 or 8 o'clock here on the East Coast of the United States. If you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace.